The AC Podcast is a ministry of Apologetics Canada and is supported by the generous donations of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us in this ministry, please go to apologeticscanada.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the AC Podcast. This is Steve Kim.
Andy Steiger.
Terry Crosby.
So, Andy, how are you doing these days? You seem like unhinged almost.
I am.
Are you with us?
I'm close to unhinged. What Steve's referring to is that my life has been chaotically busy. Mm-hmm. I have a big PhD project that's due. You know how it goes. This is how it always is, right? You know, a number of different things always come to a head right at the same time.
And
basically, that's what
when it rains, it pours.
Exactly. And me and Steve just decided to go take holidays while all this is going on.
Oh, I know. I know, right?
Our listeners might not realize, but the last couple of weeks, Terry and I have been away and kind of left Andy stranded.
All alone, boys.
Bye-bye.
All right, Terry, do you have something for us
today? I do.
Yeah.
Robot.
Where have you been on the web, Terry?
Oh, you know, depths. Very far down there. Robot priest unveiled in Germany to mark 500 years since Reformation. So this is challenging.
Okay.
Challenging the religious tradition, okay?
Can I just reiterate this? We're talking about an electronic priest has been unveiled.
They have unveiled. It's called Bless You. -2 So they're actually putting them into the churches. Well, it's a kind of
so this is like 2.0 of Bless You.
I guess I don't know.
Where's -1?
And this thing, yeah, exactly. Where's -1? Where it's burnt up somewhere. This robot priest is actually going to bless people.
Wow. By bless people mean hearing their confession.
Yep, and then he's programmed to say whatever they say. I bless you, go in peace. I think that's what it is, right?
Wow. We need to bring in Brett Smith and do that for us.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? There's an app for that. With regards to forgiveness. Just confess to your phone.
It does blessings in 5 languages right now: German, English, French, Spanish, and Polish.
Wow.
And you can choose male or female.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Like,
that is so dehumanizing. I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
There's something interesting happening in our culture right now. And that is that we're starting to ask really fundamental questions as a society of what sorts of things can't be automated, that to automate them is to dehumanize, is to not understand what a human is and what a human requires. And how is that going to impact your relationships with people? I mean, how's that going to impact the church, obviously, relationship with people? Is religion just some sort of mechanical thing, or is relationship a necessary and inherent component?
The backlash is just basically, this is not pastoral care. This is not human pastoral care, right? Yeah. Like, this is just automated, and that's, it's funny because that's not even the first robot. One was introduced by Buddhist monks last year.
Wow.
And it actually does mantras throughout the day.
But by the way, if for those of you who don't quite understand that, prayer flags is a mantra. It's repeated over and over again. Prayer wheels are the same thing. And inside a prayer wheel has a piece of paper written the same mantra over and over again. And so now what you would have is an automated machine that's repeating this mantra.
But the thing is, in religions like Buddhism and Hinduism, that one makes sense because it's the sound itself that is really critical, right?
And I would absolutely agree with that, because in Buddhism, you're absolutely right, Steve, that all that it does is not even the sound, right? Mm-hmm. It can be written. That statement is all that matters. There's no necessarily human component to it.
Right.
Whereas I would argue that Christianity, humanity, relationship is an inherent and necessary condition to Christianity.
Yeah, right. I would say that. Speaking of world religions and things like that, you listeners may have come across this in your social media feed.
Oh, I've been seeing this a ton.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, I'm not seeing a whole lot of it in the mainstream media. I mean, there's a couple articles here and there, but it's mostly through like social media channels that I'm seeing this. So Donald Trump, the president of the United States, nominated Russell Vought for the role of the deputy director of the Federal Budget Committee. So there's this nominee who's going through the confirmation hearing process. And Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont, who is also a very kind of, he's like left of the left.
He's a socialist.
Yeah, Democratic Socialist, and he's a secular Jew himself, and he was
which,
one of
the— Which, by the way, is a very common— it's very common, most Jews are, that I've encountered are,
yeah, are secular. And so here's a clip from that confirmation hearing. It's a bit disturbing.
I think this is 44 minutes in.
Yeah, and this clip itself is only like a couple minutes long, so here it is. You'll get the gist of it when you just listen to this.
In the piece that I referred to that you wrote for a publication called Resurgent, you wrote, Muslim, quote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. End of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian. And I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post, as I stated in the questionnaire to this committee, was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. And
again, I apologize. I do. Forgive me. We just don't have a lot of time. Do you believe that people in the Muslim religion stand condemned? Is that your view?
Again, Senator, I'm a Christian, and I wrote that piece.
Well, what does that say?
The statement of faith of Wheaton
College. I understand that. I don't know how many Muslims there are in America. I really don't know. Probably a couple of million. Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned? What about Jews? They stand condemned too?
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand that Christianity is the majority religion. But there are other people who have different religions in this country and around the world. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?
Thank you for probing on that question. As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect regardless of their religious beliefs. I believe that as a Christian, that's how I should treat all individuals.
And do you think your statement that you put into that publication, they do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ, the Son, and they stand condemned. Do you think that's respectful of other religions?
Senator, I wrote a post based on being a Christian and attending a Christian school that has a statement of faith that speaks clearly with regard to the centrality of Jesus Christ in salvation.
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about. I will vote no.
So there it is. So basically what happened there is Bernie Sanders is grilling, really, Russell Vought on a theological issue. Basically what happened was, you may remember back in 2015, there was this incident at Wheaton College where a political science professor, Larisha Hawkins, you may remember that, she wore a hijab.
I believe Facebook, she tweeted it.
Yeah, tweeted or put a Facebook post saying that she was doing this to stand in solidarity with Muslims because, you know, we worship the same God. And Wheaton, very conservative evangelical Christian college, they took an issue with that.
And one of the people that was defending her was John Stackhouse,
who is actually very close to home for us.
Yeah, he was a professor at Regent. Regent College in Vancouver. I don't know where he is located now. Anyway, he wrote an article in December 16th, 2015 with regards to this. We could post this again on the show notes, called Do Muslims and Christians Worship the Same God? Now, in that article, he defends Hawkins in saying that really by defining what she meant when she said that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. Mm-hmm. And one of the arguments that he makes is, he says, listen, do you need to know the Trinity? You know, do you need to have an idea of Jesus to be able to worship God? And then he refers to the Old Testament, specifically Abraham, and then says, well, what about Abraham. Abraham didn't have an understanding of the Trinity, nor did he have an understanding of Jesus, and yet you would say that he's worshiping the same God. So then the question is, well, does that logic apply to Muslims?
Basically, the idea is, you know, you can have a deficient theology, but you can still have a faithful, prayerful walk with God, right? To which Russell Vaught, who is, by the way, a Wheaton alumnus, he responded to that by saying exactly what Bernie Sanders quoted, right? It's not that they just have a deficient theology. They rejected Jesus Christ, and so they stand condemned.
And this is an important part to understand, because now this responds even to Stackhouse's argument referring to Abraham, and that is that Christianity is dealing with both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So we have this progressive revelation where we see God in Jesus Christ, and is made clear that God is a Trinity, and Muslims are aware of that. And now they have rejected the idea of a triune God. They have rejected Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so what Vaught's saying is in light of that, they stand condemned.
Right. And I think here, Senator Sanders, I think he really shows his ignorance of Christian theology.
I would say agreed, but I'd also say he shows his ignorance of Islamic theology.
Right, and then that's exactly the thing. For one thing, I would say, well, he needs to understand, for one, everybody stands condemned apart from Christ. It's everybody, whether you're Muslim, you're Jew, whether you're quote-unquote Christian, right? If you reject the some of the core tenets of who Jesus is, I mean, that's really dangerous. But secondly, that is such a problem precisely because, you know, Judaism and Christianity both teach that people are made in the image of God, and so they have inherent worth and dignity, and they're so valuable and important. That's why this is such a problem, right?
This is why Vaught cares about this issue,
right?
Is because people are valuable.
So according to his faith, he would be duty-bound to actually treat everybody. Now, this is a pretty powerful position that he's being nominated for, right? He is going to have a very big influence in deciding how the federal taxpayer dollars are going to be distributed and all of that stuff. And according to his faith, he's duty-bound to treat everybody with equal dignity and respect because everybody is made in the image of God, right? On the flip side, though, I thought this was very interesting that Sanders is grilling Vaught, who's a Christian. Like, I have a hard time imagining Sanders doing the same thing to a Muslim nominee.
Right. What I find unfortunate in this, in these quotes, is the word usage. And starting with Stackhouse, I mean, he says, having a deficient theology of God. And then I went right on to Vaught. He used the same words. In interacting with other religions, I find that's not acceptable to use those kind of words. You know what I mean? Like, it's not inviting to bring in and have conversations with. So for me, that was unfortunate. And it seems to me in that videos, he was kind of harping on that, right? I think he was...
Sorry, Terry, are you talking about this idea of having a deficient understanding of God? The word deficient?
Deficient. Mm-hmm. The word deficient.
Would you have gone with something like an incorrect view of God?
Yeah, I think it seems to me that word is...
Loaded, isn't
it? It's kind of loaded. Yeah. It's in your face.
And then to go on even farther from that and to say Muslims are condemned...
Condemned, another
now
word.
That has certain connotations. I mean, theologically, it's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to understand, though, back to what Vaught was saying, is he is responding or pointing back to Wheaton's statement of faith. Here's something, though, that I think that we've got to get into, because I want to unravel a couple of things that are happening here. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about relativism and the myth of relativism, first of all, because I think this is incredibly important for Christians to understand. Christians often get a bad rap for being exclusivists. Now, by that I mean saying that salvation is attained through Jesus Christ alone.
Yeah, your way is the only way.
Yeah, which is what Jesus said in John chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yeah. Right? So Jesus is the exclusivist. We're following after Jesus, who's saying he is the only way. And in fact, that's what it means to be an evangelical. That's what Protestantism is. I mean, we're celebrating the 500th year anniversary of the Reformation. And the Reformation, one of the solas of Martin Luther is Christ alone, right? And the idea behind that being, and this was Martin Luther saying, listen, it is in Jesus Christ alone, he refers to Hebrews here, the book of Hebrews, particularly chapter 7, it is in Jesus Christ alone that God has guaranteed you salvation, that he has made a way for you, because Christianity is founded on the idea that every single person is condemned, and that in everyone being condemned, the only way through that, Christianity is based on the idea that everyone is condemned, and the only way around that, the only salvation, the only hope is through Jesus, that God has made a way.
Yeah, it's not just Protestants either. And certainly Protestants very strongly emphasized it and affirmed what was already being taught prior to that in the Catholic Church and even in the early church.
So just to understand, from a Christian perspective, we think that, okay, first of all, everyone is condemned. We believe that it is through Jesus that God has made a way for salvation. Or another way of putting that is that it's through Jesus that God has mended our broken relationship with him so that we can come back into a right relationship with God and into a right relationship with one another. Mm. The part, though, that I find amusing in all this, and I think Christians need to appreciate, is that Christianity is not the only exclusive religion. The reality is that every religion, even Bernie Sanders' secularism, is an exclusive claim on truth. You can't get away from this. So, you know, Bernie Sanders believes that God doesn't exist, I'm sure. I haven't specifically asked him this question, but I'm guessing from being a secular Jew, he would be an atheist Jew. So in other words, he holds to the traditions of Judaism and, or the ethnicity of it, but not to the religious beliefs of it, which then I would have to ask, well, do you think that that is true of all people then? That does God exist for some people and not exist for other people?
At the end of the day, right, at the end of this clip you saw, I mean, not that he was forcing his atheism on Vaught, that's not what he was doing, but at the end of the day, his secularism drew a line in the sand and said, no, you are not fit for this. I'm going to exclude you. This person, Mr. Vaught, is not who this country is supposed to be about.
Yeah,
right?
Which the irony there is, this country is based on Christian principles.
Yeah.
It was originally founded as a Christian nation.
Yeah.
One nation under God. What God is that? What was the Christian God that it was under?
Again, on the exclusivity of everything. Like if you look at Islam, there's an exclusive religion, right? If you don't acknowledge, right, that God is one and that Muhammad is his messenger,
yep.
Guess what happens? You're bound to hell.
You're condemned. This is what I wanted to bring up. This is the irony of Sanders, right? And this is the beauty of the United States and religious freedom, is that, yeah, Christianity was built on religious principles, but part of those religious principles was that everyone is free to follow their religious beliefs, including Muslims. They're free to follow their religious beliefs, and a part of their religious belief is to believe that you stand condemned according to their theology and how that theology is worked out. But that is true of every religion. And, you know, Buddhists are the same way. They have their religious beliefs, and they would believe that anyone that doesn't hold to their religious beliefs is not correct.
Religion isn't just about a set of beliefs either, right? It is a set of beliefs about the world and how it actually works. It's about metaphysics too.
It's about truth.
Yeah, it's about truth and how you actually think the world actually is.
Yep.
If Buddhism is right, then what it means is that unless you follow the teachings of the Buddha and you affirm the Four Noble Truths and go through the Eightfold Path, then you are not going to reach nirvana and you are going to be trapped in this existence on and on and on.
Now, here's the thing, though, that don't you agree? This is, I think, one of the issues that's happening right now in politics, is that there is an underlying premise, and that premise is that secularism is a better position to govern from, that somehow it is more impartial.
I think there is some truth to that. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want like an Islamic caliphate to be established here. And that's part of the reason why there's the separation of the church and the state. Thus, we have a secular government. I can understand that. The problem is when secularism starts being enforced to exclude people from public office based on their theological beliefs, which, by the way—
See, but that's where I would push back, though, Steve, and say, well, isn't that the problem, though? It's not the religious belief that's held. It's specifically with regards to the implementation of that religious belief in the sense that you could have somebody that's secular, and you know, and we know many atheists, for example, that are incredibly evangelistic. I mean, think about Mao, for example, mm-hmm. right? He was an atheist, and he pushed his atheism onto his communism. It was an atheistic communism that was forced on the people as he saw religion as poison. I think one thing that we should probably just make clear that we agree on is that religious freedom is a good thing.
Right.
You know, and that Muslims being free to practice Islam is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Christians being free to practice Christianity is a good thing. If Vought was to use his position to promote Christianity or to use his position in a way that is going to subjugate Muslims or Buddhists or something like that, that is not a good thing. But what's happening with this Bernie Sanders that's so concerning is that he's attacking Vought's religious beliefs in a post that he wrote about his alma mater's statement of faith and basically saying that that's not okay. You can't have your religious beliefs, that if you're going to hold religious beliefs, they have to be a liberal, secularized set of religious beliefs.
The phrase that's often been thrown around to describe this was a litmus test. You may have seen some of the like blog titles and things like that, that Bernie Sanders basically created a litmus test for public office. And the concern there is that, and this is one of the reasons why I really appreciate, as a Canadian, the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the U.S. Constitution, Article 6, Subsection 3, it says, "The senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. But, and get this, but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States." Bernie Sanders went right against that.
Could you imagine if we went back a few years and you had those in government watching what Bernie Sanders is doing now? They
would never fly.
Would never. They would be beside themselves. They would think, well, all of them would have agreed with Vought. Right, they would have been like, well, you know what? What's your problem here? The reality is, though, is, and I think this is really interesting. The reality is that we're coming to a place where I think this is a struggle for power, clearly, isn't it? And I think we're seeing this in Europe as well, where the secular community is in a struggle for power to hold power, and particularly right now in the United States, with Donald Trump in power and with Republicans holding the majority. I think that it further just, they look for any reason possible to limit that power.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be hesitant to, like, I'm not saying you're demonizing them, but I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to try to hold that power because, I mean, I think the intention is good. Like, we all want to do good things with the power that we hold, and we don't want the power to go over to somebody that we think is going to abuse it. That's fine. And the secular community is welcome to try to seize the power, so to speak,
right,
wield the power. But
that's
the problem,
part of a democratic nation.
Right. So that's great. The problem is, if you look throughout history, like, a lot of the atrocities that happened, some of the greatest atrocities happened out of good intention,
yep,
right? Mm-hmm. He's a sort of he gets brought up all the time, but Hitler is the perfect example, right? He actually thought he was doing a good thing. Same thing with Mao, yep, right? I mean, this was for the better of the societies and things like that.
Do you think that we are placing too much emphasis within, I mean, certainly in the United States and Canada, I mean, it's in the Constitution about, you know, these, everything is kind of based within the God tradition.
Within a Christian tradition?
Within a Christian tradition. I mean, we're not promoting theocracy at all as Christians. But we have to realize that there's a lot of voices coming into both Canada and the States. I mean, you're a little behind in Canada. Do we have to be a little bit more open in the sense that, I mean, we can say that these principles that we have put into place in the Constitution's kind of our objective truths, and they probably come from God. But to say as a Christian nation, I don't like that terminology.
Christian nation.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing that we have so many voices in the culture and that we can interact with each other.
Well, this is the challenge of a pluralistic culture.
Right.
You know, how do you respect people of so many different religious beliefs? Mm-hmm. In particular, I think that we're experiencing this on a scale we've never experienced it before, just with regards to mass immigration. I think this started with the Great Awakenings. And the mass immigration that was happening in the United States, we're seeing mass immigration take place in Canada, in European nations across the board. And so in ways that we've never had to deal with this before, we are dealing with how do we juggle being multicultural and respecting different religious beliefs when there are aspects of those religious beliefs that we don't appreciate. And clearly Bernie Sanders doesn't appreciate the exclusivity of Christianity. Yeah. However, I would just argue that he doesn't appreciate that all religion, any claim to truth is exclusive.
Like you said before, I think we need to champion everybody's religious freedom. And, you know, a lot of people kind of balk at that. Oh, I don't know. We have to get our Christian message out there. This is the right way. And I think we kind of stop there in the sense that we take this like it's all about us. We're getting harmed the most kind of thing.
Well, I think we need
to buck up.
But the pushback, though, I'd have, and I think this is where things get really challenging, is that Christianity isn't interested in setting up a theocracy.
Right.
However, Islam is interested in setting up, as you said, Steve, their caliphate or their theocracy, right? And the challenge becomes that now becomes a front to religious freedom in Islam. And that's where things become challenging. I don't see Christianity as an affront to religious freedom. I do see, though, in other religions, specifically Islam, that it is a front to religious freedom in the sense that it wants to set up a theocracy. And when you see Islam set up around the world, places like Malaysia and elsewhere, you see it is in direct opposition to religious freedom.
As I wrap up, I'm thinking, you know, this is why I love liberal democracies. And this is why I cherish freedom of speech so much. Right?
Even Bernie Sanders.
Because freedom of speech is foundational to all other freedoms, if you think about it, as far as democracies go. I mean, there's freedom to life, and then there's freedom to speech, right? But it's one of those really fundamental freedoms that allows for religious freedom. Mm-hmm. And so if, you know, Russell Vaught can't even write in a conservative article defending his alma mater—
Right.
This is what he believes is his theological belief, and based on that, he gets rejected from a public office. I am concerned for our religious freedom and freedom of speech, and I think we can all agree, no matter what else you believe, I think we can all agree that freedom of speech is critical.
I would also point our listeners to the New Testament and remind them that this isn't a new thing for Christians. The early disciples, as they went out to share the love of Christ and the good news found in Jesus, that they lived in a hostile culture, and they had to juggle between, you know, how do they love a culture that is hostile to them, but at the same time not being hostile and kind. Mm-hmm. But showing care for them and speaking truth, though, boldly. And I think that this is we need to turn to the New Testament in ways we never have before, because I think we can relate with the New Testament in ways we've never been able to, in ways that we haven't related with it for centuries.
All right. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada, and we'll come back next week with more stuff to think about. Thank you to a couple of our listeners who sent us the articles to talk about today. We encourage you to do so, and you can send it to info@apologeticscanada.com. See you next week.